Hey, this is Joseph from The Healthy Marriage, and this is part one of the five simple steps to a healthy marriage. And we're going to talk about how to get your silent partner to open up. You know, communication problems are probably the most, almost always a contributing factor in a troubled relationship. And most of the time, when asked, even though there may be underlying issues, when asked, what is the problem in your relationship? Most spouses will say it's communication. Many cases, one partner desperately wants to talk and work things out and kind of go deeper in the relationship. But the other one is either unwilling or in most cases, they really don't know how. So it's unfortunate. But without open communication, it's very difficult to get a relationship on track. You know, Hollywood has often glorified the image of the strong, silent type of man or the mysterious, alluring woman. And while there is some intrigue there, when it comes to long-term relationships, a lot of times this kind of misses the mark. As appealing as it may seem on a movie screen, in real life, it's hardly ever ideal for relationship partners. You know, I recently talked with a gentleman who grew up in a home where his father was the strong, silent type, and he took on a lot of that characteristic. And it was a lot about his character that I found very commendable. He's trustworthy, he's honest, all around a good guy. But his silence almost ruined his marriage, and it was on the brink of divorce, he finally realized that he needed to change. His wife needed more from him, and he had kind of just dismissed that and always just thought, well, I'm just the strong, silent type. And his wife's needs were going unmet. And for him, that seemed to be a much needed wake-up call when they were on the brink of divorce. So rather than wait for a wake-up call or until it's too late altogether, I want to discuss some things that you can do to increase the likeliness of your partner opening up. And sometimes a slight change in approach can be the key. In the walls of silence, they kind of crumble. Now, first, however, I want to take a brief look at what you may be doing that doesn't work. In fact, some of the things that you may be doing that contribute to the situation. Now, quick note here. Before we explore these seven things, I want to encourage you to evaluate your relationship. You know, it's easily when reading something or attending a session like this, it's easy to think about what your spouse needs to do to change. But what about you? See, you can't control their decisions, but you can control yours. And so I want to encourage you as I go through these seven simple things that may be contributing to the problem, I don't want you to dismiss them. Sometimes you may look and go, yeah, I've heard that before. These are not huge revelations, but they are things that I think are worth taking inventory about. And so that's what this part of this session is all about. It's inventory. So let's look at these seven things. So first of all, nagging. You know, nagging is about as effective as throwing gasoline on a fire. It makes things exponentially worse. So if you're nagging, if you are a nagging partner or your partner is nagging in an attempt to get the other person to open up and to talk, I can tell you what's going to happen. Resentment. They will resent you. So if nagging is your approach, it's something you simply have to stop immediately. The second thing is begging and pleading. And these work about as well as nagging. In other words, they don't work at all. And by doing so, you only demean yourself and you lose your partner's respect. You know, I've taught couples for years now that you can never get by extraction what is only meant to be received. In other words, you can't manipulate and coerce your partner to do something they don't want to do. If it's not giving freely, even when they do it, it never satisfies. I hope that makes sense. The third thing is this, getting angry or upset. Now I realize there's times where things just kind of reach a boiling point and you're to that frustration point and it just kind of boils over. But we have to get control of our emotions. So if crying, yelling, or throwing tantrums is what you've done in the past, you're not too likely to get anywhere, and your partner is not going to respect that, and he's not going to open up over that, whether it's male or female. The third one is this, being critical or complaining, and it kind of goes back to nagging, criticizing your partner or complaining that they never talk or they never do this or they never do that will only make them more inclined to keep their mouth shut or keep their thoughts and feelings to themselves. Now, they may be thinking, why bother? I can't win no matter what, that whatever I say. We've got a friend, a couple that we've worked with in the past, and they're a wonderful couple. They love each other, but she has a tendency to constantly correct. And I've watched him in conversations when he begins to tell a story and she interjects, "No, it wasn't on Tuesday, it was on Thursday. No, it wasn't in the morning, it was in the afternoon." Almost insignificant details to the story. And I've watched him simply gradually close up. That's what criticism, that's what complaining does. So we have to avoid that. Pressuring or making demands is another one. Criticizing your partner, complaining doesn't work, and pressuring only reinforces that resistance. So pressure, what you get by extraction, can never satisfy. It has to be offered freely. Another one is interrupting. It's easy to always be thinking about what we want to say next. And in doing that, sometimes we interrupt and we fail to allow our partner to express what's on their heart. So it's very important in communicating. Sometimes the best thing to do is not to talk, but to listen. And so when we interrupt someone, we're essentially saying, I really don't care to listen to what you're saying, but I insist that you hear me because what I'm saying is more important. Now, I don't think that's really the message that we want to convey. And the final one is this, ultimatums or threats. Now, I realize there's a time where a line does need to be drawn in the sand, but those are rare occasions, and I've seen couples jump to that before walking through an entire process of trying to build bridges and trying to communicate and mend what's wrong and try to heal. And they just jump to that and they start laying out ultimatums, threatening to leave or giving any kind of ultimatum will make you look desperate and manipulative. It doesn't work. So I'm going to say, just don't do that. It's better to keep a calm head. So those seven things, if you look at those and I'm sure you think, I've heard all of that before, but let's do some inventory. Is if these things have been a part of your attempt to build communication, it will certainly backfire. So those tactics do not work. So what I want to do now is let's shift gears and let's look at some things that do work. What can we do? We know those things don't work. What can we do to make sure that we're engaging and we're opening up our marriage and our relationships so that communication can flow? And I think there's four or five key things here. And the first one is this: believe your spouse wants to communicate. Our mind gets in our way more than we want to admit. A lot of times we approach situations and we play these scenarios over in our mind and we go, well, if they say this, then I'm going to say that. And if they do this, this is how I'm going to respond. And we build this whole scenario up and we convince ourselves that we're going to have to extract from them. We're going to have to pressure them and pull something out of them. And it's much more productive to simply believe that your spouse wants to communicate. I truly believe that men that I know, and let's be honest, most men are the communication blockages. Most women want to talk, they want to communicate, and some men find that a little more difficult. It's part of its wiring, part of it's how we're raised. And so there needs to be some patience, but trust me, Most of the men that I know, in fact, only a rare, very rare handful care nothing about communicating. Most of the men that I've dealt with, that I know, and as many of you know, I was pastor of a church for over 3 decades. And so I've dealt with a lot of couples. And most of the men that I know really believe and really want to communicate. But what we do is we often sabotage our own success by expecting and believing the worst. So let's resist the temptation to judge them, and let's trust that our spouse loves us and wants to connect with us. That's the beginning step. And don't minimize that step. Get your head right first. And second, share feelings openly and honestly and calmly. Perhaps you're not really want to open up either. And so if you expect and desire communication, you have to learn to be vulnerable and to drop your defenses and enter in to an open and transparent conversation. You have to start by being what you desire from them. You can't be one way and expect them to be another way. And by the way, I want you to stay with me through all of this because at the end, I want to share a special offer with you and a special program that I really think will enhance your marriage. I promote things I really believe in, and I really believe in this program. And so you'll hear more about it at the end, but it's based around this thing of sharing our feelings openly and honestly. So if you're frustrated and you're scared and you've been withdrawn and you're holding back as well, you need to shift gears and you need to be vulnerable. And that includes being free to express what you need in the relationship. We play a lot of mental games, and I see it more in the dating world, but it spills over into our marriages. We play these games rather than just coming out and communicating honestly and saying, I really feel like I have this need, and I want us to talk about how we can meet that. Whether it's a need for emotional safety and security or whatever. And just being open and transparent and honest with ourselves and with our spouse. And you'd be surprised at how far that will take you if you just approach things by being open and honest. The third one is this. It's kind of one of those don't, but don't push. Impatience will not get you the open conversation that you're hoping for. And so when you're talking to your spouse, allow them plenty of time to actually respond. I'm not one that responds quickly. And it would be easy in a conversation with me to either think I'm disengaged or that I don't have anything to say or that I'm not paying attention. And I don't want to contribute because I want to think about. And my wife has commented on that many times, that I really, I try to be slow to speak. Now, sometimes I'm not, but I try to be. I talk for a living, but I really try to practice. I want to listen and I want to respond. And sometimes, especially for men, we process and it takes us a little bit longer. See, there's some people are verbal processors. They actually process it as they're talking. Most men are not made like that. We process and then we talk about it. And so you have to give patience for that. And so don't push. Just allow the natural processes to take place and allow them time to respond. Sometimes silence is golden in that. I've been in the business world, and one of the things that in sales we talk about, at the end of a conversation, you pose a question. And then the first person who speaks loses. That's what we say in the business world. And so sometimes the point is you got to be patient and let the person respond. And the next one is this. When you're going to talk, select an appropriate place and time to talk. Don't try to do it if it's a conversation where you really want to go deep. Don't try to do that while you're cooking dinner. That's more appropriate for while you're having dinner. Don't do it while you're trying to rush the kids off to school or get the kids in the bath or get ready for bed in the evening. That's not the time for that. The time for that is when you can dedicate some isolated time to spend together. And when you do that, I think you're going to find you're more successful in that. And then finally, listen. When your spouse finally opens up, it's important to listen and listen carefully. If you're not a good listener, why would they even open up in the first place? So if you intend to interrupt or you overreact or you become critical or defensive, they're simply going to feel that it's not worth the effort. So maybe the best thing is to just take time to listen, truly hear what they're saying and what they're meaning. And it's important at this point in listening is to not approach it being defensive. That's why I go back to that very first point. Believe your spouse wants to communicate. Believe that they love you. They want to be in the relationship. They want their marriage to be successful. They want you to be happy. Most all of the men I know truly have a deep desire. They just want their wife to be happy. And so listen and don't assume or don't get defensive. It may take them a while, but give them an opportunity to do that. Out of reach for you. Always think about that. Now, these are simple steps, but I promise if you apply them, they will work and they will help you move toward a deeper communication. So I mentioned that I had a very special offer for you. You see, many couples need a jump start to communication. So below this training, there's another video. It's based upon an experiment done in 1996 by psychologist Arthur Aaron. You see, he believed that it was possible to have complete strangers fall in love by simply having them answer a specific set of 36 questions. So the video below is a 5-minute TEDx documentary that talks about that experiment and actually revisits it and does the experiment on a couple. They did just that. That couple went through the questionnaire and actually fell in love. So the bonus is this. Watch the video below, and then I want to give you access to a program that is built around those questions, plus 936 other questions that will help you connect with your spouse. So first thing is watch the video below. It's only 5 minutes, and it documents how this couple went through that series of questions and the results. And then you can read about 1,000 Questions for Couples, the program that is built around Dr. Aaron's work. So I'm going to give that and offer it to you as a bonus so you can watch the video and then click the link below that to get access. That's it for today. Be on the lookout for lesson 2 coming tomorrow.